Hello, and welcome back to Life Matters, the program where we engage life issues with critical thinking and a biblical worldview. Here is our host, Tony Clark, Executive Director of Assure Women's Center in Omaha, Nebraska.
Welcome to Life Matters. Today, I'm your host, Tony Clark, Executive Director of Assure Women's Center in Omaha, and I'm honored to be joined today by Nate Gross, the Executive Director of Nebraska Family Alliance. Nate, thanks for being here.
Tony, it's an honor. Thanks so much for having me.
It's good to have you here. Nebraska Family Alliance has been on the forefront of advocating for life and family and religious freedom. Let's start with a quick overview. What is NFA's mission and how do you engage with policy and culture?
Yeah, so Nebraska Family Alliance, we are standing in the gap for families and children born and unborn in our state. Our mission is to advance family freedom and life. And we do that by influencing policy, mobilizing prayer, and empowering people. And our heart is that the state of Nebraska would be a place where God is honored, where families thrive, and where life is cherished and protected.
We appreciate all that you do for life. I think Assure has certainly benefited from the work that you all do. So thank you all. There's three key pro-life bills currently before the Nebraska legislature, LB 669, LB 632, and LB 214. Let's dive into these. First, LB 669 strengthens informed consent laws and requires abortion providers to screen for coercion, abuse, and trafficking. Why is this bill so important?
Yeah, Tony, this is, I think, one of the most important bills in the Nebraska legislature because it's bringing to light a really dark area that even oftentimes when you're talking about abortion isn't really talked about. And that is the connection between abortion and human trafficking. And the tragic reality of abortion is that it is used as a tool by traffickers and abusers to keep women in cycles of abuse and trafficking. And so this bill is stepping into that space to say that we are going to require abortion providers prior to performing an abortion to actually have to screen for signs of abuse, coercion, and trafficking. And, you know, this is to be done privately with the mother to ensure her safety and confidentiality, and then to make her aware of the resources and assistance and help that is available to her and give her the opportunity to make a confidential phone call. So this bill, you know, I think can really help save lives in more ways than one.
Good, good. Well, I will speak for our pregnancy help organizations across our state. We really appreciate this effort because I cannot tell you the number of women that come through our doors that we think are being trafficked and not necessarily even being trafficked, but just feel like they're being coerced into doing something they don't want. I think back to a few years ago, I could hear some turmoil in the parking lot and went out to find out what was going on. It was a patient and her mom had went and picked her up from school. She had no idea her mom was coming. She thought she was having an abortion. And I just remember trying to calm her down. And she was like, you don't know what they're trying to do to me. They want me to have an abortion. Turned out she wasn't even pregnant. But had we not been who we are and she was pregnant, she would have been coerced into having that abortion. And she was not a happy camper. So we certainly appreciate the work that you all are doing in that area. How prevalent is coercion in abortion decisions, and why is it important for Nebraska to address this issue legislatively?
Yeah, I mean, as you just mentioned, I mean, you've seen this, and it is a reality, and there have been studies that actually show as many as 2/3 of all abortions, there is an element of coercion where somebody, an outside voice, is pressuring the mother to have an abortion, whether it's, you know, a boyfriend or a parent or somebody else. And we want to make sure that women in those situations know that there is help, there is resources, there is real care available to them rather than simply being abandoned to abortion. And the other part of this is, you know, there have been studies and, you know, talking specifically to survivors of sex trafficking who have said that the reason they took them to Planned Parenthood was because they don't ask questions.
Yep.
And that is, you know, heartbreaking. for vulnerable women to be forced into those situations. And then instead of being given help, they're given an abortion and then turned right back over to their abuser or their trafficker. And women and children in Nebraska deserve so much better.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. There are a couple of things that we do here at Assure. Once again, we're always looking for those that we suspect of being sex trafficked. We also we can help them if they will allow us to. And so that's a question that we ask discreetly so that we can help them. If they let us know, we can certainly help them out in that situation as well. So once again, we're just really appreciative of what you guys are doing on that level. Now, some opponents of LB 669 may argue that this bill places unnecessary burdens on abortion providers. How do you respond to that concern?
Yeah, you know, it was really disappointing, perhaps not surprising, that groups like Planned Parenthood spoke against this bill and are opposing it. And, you know, they use the same arguments that this is getting in between a woman and her doctor. Yeah. What this bill is doing is getting in between a woman and her abuser. Mm-hmm. And what we're talking about really, we believe, should be the bare minimum requirements. Mm-hmm. That these facilities, these clinics, are looking out for the best interests of women's actual health and safety, rather than just trying to perform another abortion.
Absolutely, absolutely. So let's move on to LB 632, which deals with the human disposition of fetal remains. I'm sorry, with the humane disposition of fetal remains. Can you explain what this bill seeks to change?
Yeah, Tony, this bill is something that I think many people are shocked to learn about. And again, it is calling to attention a very sad and dark practice that unfortunately is common in the abortion industry, which is what happens to the remains of that child after the abortion. Yeah. And what we know is that these children after the abortion are actually labeled and treated as medical waste. Mm-hmm. What that means is that at best, they end up in the trash, in landfills, in the sewer. And it's one of those things that we don't think about because we don't have to see it. Mm-hmm. But tragically, there have been stories, and even in the United States, in Oregon, for example, there were news reports that aborted babies were being burned in an incinerator to generate electricity. Mm-hmm. Just a few years ago, there was a shocking discovery when the remains of over 2,000 aborted babies were found stuffed in boxes and jars in the garage of an abortionist's home. Mm-hmm. And so these things should never be allowed to happen. These are lives that were not without value. Mm-hmm. They were denied dignity and life, and we want to make sure that in Nebraska we're not forgetting about these lives. They had value, they had purpose, and they should be given dignity just like any other human.
Yeah, I agree. So does LB 632 have any bearing on perhaps on women who have had who have used the abortion pill?
That's a great question. And no, it doesn't. The way that the bill is written, the requirements that this bill has is that a healthcare facility that performs an abortion, the burden is on the facility that if they are in possession of that child's remains, that they have to either bury or individually cremate the remains of that child. So it doesn't apply to women, only to facilities that are doing this, which would be abortion clinics.
Yeah, the reason I asked was because there are so many women taking the abortion pill and they're coming face to face with a baby that they aborted, and I think sometimes they don't know what to do with it. Mm-hmm. So, wow. Why is it important that the remains of unborn children be treated with dignity? And how do you think Nebraska currently handles this issue?
Yeah, a couple of things. I mean, one, this really is getting at upholding the dignity of unborn children. Again, we know that no child should ever be callously treated as medical waste. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, that's what's happening in Nebraska today. There have been a handful of other states who have passed similar legislation to ensure that these children are given a proper burial. And that's something that we would like to see here. And I would add to that, the reason this is so important, aside just from upholding basic human dignity is that the law is a teacher. And right now that there's this cognitive dissonance, right? And so I think if you can put in the law that, you know, these are human lives, that it's not a blob of tissue, it's not a clump of cells. This was a human life that needs to be treated as such and properly buried and given that dignity. And all of a sudden, I think that forces our society and our culture to have to start looking at this issue differently and say, no, this was a human life. And that life should have also been protected.
Absolutely. Nate, what's been the response from the medical community regarding this bill?
Yeah, mostly a lot of silence. Mm. You know, I think, again, it's something they prefer not to have to talk about.
Yeah.
The abortion industry has opposed this bill. But it also shows, you know, hospitals, they have policies in mm-hmm. place. If there's a miscarriage or a stillbirth, they treat that child yeah. with dignity and respect and ensure there's a proper burial. Abortion clinics do not. Yeah. And when Planned Parenthood opposed this bill, the only thing they would say is that they have a policy. They refused to say what that policy was. And it became very clear, you know, they're not burying them.
Yeah.
They're not cremating them. So what are they doing?
Mm. I hate to hear the answer to that, but we know. We absolutely know. The final bill we're looking at is LB 214, which expands Nebraska's safe haven law by allowing the installation of safe haven baby boxes. Why do you see this as a life-saving measure?
Yeah, safe haven baby boxes. People may or may not have heard of these. And this is all about providing one more life-affirming option for parents, especially parents who might be in crisis. And this is about helping provide the option of anonymous surrender to hand over a newborn child to ensure their safety and that they can find a loving forever home. And, you know, our heart is that no child would ever be abandoned, mm-hmm. but we know that does happen. And it has happened in Nebraska. And oftentimes, you know, whether it's fear or shame or embarrassment, the parent might not feel comfortable or actually they might be afraid of, you know, getting in trouble.
Yeah.
If they abandon the child or take them somewhere and leave them. And so what ends up happening is a child gets abandoned in a place where there is little to no hope of that child being found. Mm-hmm. And so this bill would allow for safe haven baby boxes, mm-hmm. Which are a safe and proven means of doing anonymous surrender, to be installed at fire stations and hospitals that are staffed 24/7. They are padded and temperature controlled. They have multiple alarms to know that if a child is placed in this safe haven baby box, the proper personnel and authorities can be notified. There's been some incredible stories of mm-hmm. lives being saved yeah. through the Safe Haven Baby Box. And we think if it saves even one life here, it's worth it.
Absolutely. I've seen a couple of television shows where the Safe Haven Baby Boxes have been employed. I know it's television, but it's just cool to see that the media or, you know, our television shows are reflecting something that it's a good thing for change.
Yeah. And that's exactly right. You know, this is something that everyone should be able to get behind and say, you know, we want these children or parents who are in these situations to be able to know that there's an option that they have to ensure that their child is going to be cared for physically, emotionally, financially. And something that we can celebrate and make available in our communities.
So have you seen any impact in other states that are using the Safe Baby?
Yes, we have. There's been several states that have these Safe Haven Baby Boxes. In Indiana was the first state. And since they adopted this, they have not had a single death due to abandonment okay. of a newborn in their state. And they've had multiple babies saved mm-hmm. through the Safe Haven Baby Box just in 1 year. So I think it's, again, just one more life-affirming option, absolutely. One more thing, one more tool that we can have out there to make sure that every life is given an opportunity.
So we know that this is a good thing, but have there been any objections to Safe Haven Baby Boxes?
There's been very few. And it's actually interesting because oftentimes, you know, I think the concerns are coming from a genuine place of maybe just not understanding or being familiar with the baby boxes. You know, what if it's cold or hot or no one notices? And all of that is addressed in the bill. But also all of those concerns exist right now, right? I mean, a parent could abandon a child when it's cold outside, when it's hot, when someone doesn't notice. But these baby boxes are actually designed to give parents an option to alleviate those concerns, to make sure that they can place the child somewhere that is safe, that is temperature controlled, and that ensures the proper authorities will be notified immediately.
Good, good.
Nebraska's largest pro-life event is almost here. We invite you to join us for the 2025 Imagine Banquet, presented by Laura Lee Hunt Bird on Thursday, April 24th, 2025 at 6:30 p.m. at the CHI Health Center in downtown Omaha. Tickets are just $45 per person, and sponsorship opportunities are available for those who want to make an even greater impact in supporting life-saving work. But hurry, seating is limited. Secure your spot today by visiting firststeptolife.com/imagine. Again, that is firststeptolife.com/imagine.
So committee hearings just took place. What are the next steps for these bills and how can people support them?
Yeah, this is really important. Every bill in the Nebraska legislature gets a committee hearing, and then they can be voted on by that committee. And at that point, we can see them scheduled for debate and to be voted on by the full legislature. And so that's what will be happening over the coming weeks and months. And these are such important opportunities. And what's unique about Nebraska is with our unicameral system, the people truly are the second house. Our system of government is dependent and reliant upon the people of Nebraska playing an active role in our legislative process. And so contacting senators, contacting your state senator, letting them know that you support these bills, you support pro-life values, can be really important in helping to advance these pieces of legislation.
Good. So what role does Nebraska citizens play in shaping policies like this and others, and how can they effectively advocate for life-affirming legislation?
Yeah, it. I always tell people, Lincoln, Nebraska is not Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
I mean, you can contact your senator, you can meet with them, they will respond to you. They see all the emails, all the phone calls that come into their office, and their job is to represent you. That's why they are there, but they can't do that if they never hear from you, or if they don't know what issues and values are important to you and to your family. And so I would encourage people, you know, don't be afraid to reach out to your state senator and to all of our state senators. I think sometimes we just forget, you know, the difference that it can make. And even for the senators who share our values and are down there for the right reasons, they're hearing from people on the other side.
Absolutely.
And so if they're not hearing from people who support these bills and want to protect life, it creates, you know, this void that makes it more difficult to advance good legislation.
Yeah. And we have a beautiful Capitol. I've been blessed to be able to go there several times. And I love the fact that the doors are open. You can walk in and if they're not in session, if they're in their office, they're more than willing to stop and shake your hand and just chit chat with you. So
yeah, that's right.
Encouragement. Now, you spent years working in pro-life and religious freedom laws. What motivates you personally in this work?
Yeah, that's a great question, Tony, and so many different things. But I think it all comes back to what God has called us to as believers. You know, we can so clearly see that our world is desperately searching for truth, but people are looking in all the wrong places. But God has called us to be salt and light. We have been given the truth and the opportunity, and I think the obligation to step into these spaces, to speak the truth with love, and to help ultimately point people to Christ. And whether that's engaging government or culture, these are areas where Christians can have a huge impact for ultimately truth and human flourishing.
Okay. You know, you've successfully helped pass pro-life legislation in the past. What have you learned from working in Nebraska's legislative process?
A lot of different things. But I think that it takes a lot of people moving in the same direction. It's not easy to pass a law. It shouldn't be easy to pass a law. But there are opportunities. And the biggest mistake that we can make is to be silent, or to just wait and hope that somebody else will show up and do it for us. God could have put us here on this earth at any time, but he chose right here and right now. And that should mean something to us. That should compel us forward to be engaged, to not be afraid to step out and to serve those who are in need, and ultimately to try to create a better state, a better culture for our children and our grandchildren.
Good. Nate, what's been one of the biggest victories that you've been a part of?
Yeah, you know, it has to be this past election with the passage of Initiative 434. To create a floor of constitutional protection for unborn children in our state, and defeating Initiative 439, which would have created a right to abortion until birth. And I think that victory not only created constitutional protection for unborn children for the first time in our state, it also gave a roadmap and a strategy to states all over the country that they can look to help defeat these really extreme pro-abortion initiatives that have been popping up and passing across the country. And Nebraska was actually the first state to defeat the abortion industry at the ballot. And it was something that only God could have done. He showed up in so many different ways. And because of that, we have the opportunity to get to continue to stand for life and to save more babies in our state.
So what's next?
You know, there's so much work to be done in our state, in our country, and you know, there are so many issues that we're facing, but they all come back to the same thing: the breakdown of God's design for the family.
Yeah.
And so we are committed to trying to strengthen families, to talk about the beauty and the truth of marriage and God's design for family, and the benefit that brings to society, to children. And so we're going to continue advocating. And ultimately, this isn't just about winning policy battles.
Right.
It's about changing hearts and minds.
Absolutely.
And so that's what we're in the business of doing. And we're going to keep working so that Nebraska, you know, can be the best state to live and raise a family.
Amen. So many people feel discouraged about the state of politics today. What encouragement would you give to Christians who want to engage but really don't know where to start?
I think the biggest thing is we have to start being less concerned with what's politically correct and more concerned with what's biblically correct. You know, it on the issues that matter most, it's the people of God who should be leading the way. And for too long, too many people have been fed this idea that for some reason Christians shouldn't talk about political issues. But the thing is, so often what happens is these issues that are really biblical issues and moral issues are labeled as political. And that's ultimately a strategy to silence Christians on the most important issues of our time. But I think if we just take a step back and recognize that we can engage with government and politics in a way that actually honors God and shows love and justice and truth, and ultimately for the good of our neighbors, that this is absolutely a space that Christians can step into. It should never be the center of our lives, right? But neither can we neglect it. Because when Christians step back from government and politics, we create a gap. And that gap gets filled by everything except the truth and everything except for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And ultimately, that's why this matters. And that's why Christians uniquely are positioned to speak the truth and to influence government and culture for truth, for human flourishing, and ultimately for God's glory.
Yeah, good. So, Nate, you said that 434 set the floor for protection for the unborn. How do we get to the next level?
That's what was so important about this initiative, is that It built a wall preventing our state from going the other direction, but not from continuing to move forward and pass greater and stronger protections. And so now we have that foundation actually in our Constitution that at a minimum, children have to be protected in the second and third trimester. And so we have our current 12-week protection in effect, and we have the opportunity to continue to pass legislation like we've talked about some today to find new and better ways to save lives. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, we need, you know, people continuing to stand for life, whether that's at the Capitol or in our culture, ministering to people one on one. But our lawmakers have the opportunity with 434 to continue passing stronger laws. And ultimately, that's, you know, what we want to see is every life cherished and protected in our state.
So for those people that think 434 wasn't enough, how do you speak to them and tell them that this is not the end and this is what we have planned?
Well, that's exactly right, is that this was not the end. That was a specific strategy to defeat the abortion industry, to prevent a right from abortion from going into our Constitution. And by God's grace, we came out, our state came out on the right side of that vote. And really the whole point of it is that we preserved our ability to continue passing better and stronger pro-life laws that would have been lost had 439 passed. And so we are continuing to meet with lawmakers, to work with them, to craft good legislation. And we're excited to have those opportunities and to continue to build on some of the successes that have had recently. And I think we're going to continue to see better and more pro-life legislation introduced in Nebraska going forward because of that success.
So before we wrap up, how can people stay informed and involved with Nebraska Family Alliance?
Yeah, we would encourage listeners to visit our website, NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. You can follow NFA on social media. We have a lot of great information and resources and updates that people can get to stay involved and engaged with what's happening in our state.
Nate, thank you so much for your time today and for all that you do for Nebraska Family Alliance, for all that you do through Nebraska Family Alliance. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in to Life Matters. To stay updated on these bills and take action, visit Nebraska Family Alliance's website, NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org, as Nate said. We'll be back next time with more discussions on defending life, family, and freedom. Until then, take care and stand for truth.
We want to thank you for joining us on Life Matters this week. Life Matters is an educational outreach resource of Assure Women's Center in Omaha, Nebraska. Assure is helping women with unplanned pregnancies take the first step to life. To learn more about the ministry of Assure, visit firststeptolife.com. That's firststeptolife.com. There you can learn about the many services we provide, including how we come alongside abortion-minded mothers and empower women to choose life for her and her baby. Thanks for listening to Life Matters. Join us again next week at the same time right here on Bot Radio Network.